Thank you for joining us here at Truth and Love Ministries for this week's message, where it is our desire to connect people to God, connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. So connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or leave us a message on our website at truthandlove.tv. While you're there, stay in the know with our weekly news broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Now here's the message, already in progress.
Only thing that can happen is when God decides to turn the lights on. But it's more than just darkness here. Let me go further. There's divine judgment. There's divine judgment that's going on there on the cross. This is, in fact, the darkest day in human history. The way the Son of God is being killed by the people that he came to save. This is the darkest day in history. The darkness is symbolizing the darkness of sin. And the darkness is also symbolic or showing us the condition of the human soul. It's the reason why God came. It's the reason why he sent his dear son, is to come pull us out of darkness. And here the Matthew does not expound, and the other gospel writers do not expound to us what it is that the darkness represents. But this is why you got to have a good hermeneutic, the way you can be able to look at the whole canvas of biblical history and the whole canvas of the Bible to know what God has said is what he's saying. Let me tell you about darkness. Darkness is divine judgment. Let me just blitz through these verses of scripture right here. Look at Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 30. It's on the screen. We're going to move real quickly. Isaiah 5:30 says, they will growl over it on that day like the growling of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold what? Darkness and distress. Look at Isaiah 13:10. It says, for the stars of the heaven and all their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be in what? Dark. The sun will be dark at its rising, here at its height. You see how the Bible is telling us what's going on and what's happening? Isaiah 13:11. I still haven't convinced you. Look at Isaiah 13:11. It says, I will punish the world for its what? Evil, and the wicked for their what? Iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp and the arrogant, and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. What is God saying? There is divine judgment. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day, because of my sin and because of the darkness that's in my heart and in my life, God will cut the lights out. Joel 2:2 says, a day of what? Darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick what? Darkness. Look at Amos 5:20. It says, is not, as Amos asks this rhetorical question, he said, is not the day of the Lord what? Darkness. Amos said, there's going to be some darkness. Look at Zephaniah. When was the last time you read something from Zephaniah? Come on, hear somebody. Look at Zephaniah 1:14. It says, the great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. So no matter how strong you are, the prophet said that the strong man going to be crying. The strong man going to be looking for some relief and looking for some salvation. But look at verse 15. He said, the day of what? Wrath is that day. A day of distress and anguish. A day of ruin. A day of devastation. A day of darkness and gloom. This is what's going on here on the cross. This is divine judgment. It's divine judgment, because, hear me good, this is what the cross is about. This is why Jesus had to die, because there at that moment, all of our sins were placed on him. I thought if I would have said that in a Christian church, I thought we'll be flipping the chairs over right longer here. I thought we was going to be able to have to put our hand up and benedict after that. After I said that, I mean, let me try it again. Maybe your equilibrium off too, because the light's out. Let me help. And let me tell you what the cross is all about. The cross is all about that the sins of us all were placed on Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is divine judgment. In fact, let me show you what it is, because this takes me to my next point. This is a divine bearing. Mm-hmm. A divine bearing. A divine bearing. What do I mean? A divine bearing. Jesus is there on the cross, not just because he, and people will tell you, don't you listen to these new age thinkers. They're really not nothing new, but that's what they call it, new age thinkers that just say Jesus was just a good man that died for his cause. And they'll tip their hat at Jesus as being a good man because here it is, because he died in what he believed. He was a hero because he stood for something. And no matter what came down the pipe, he died for what he believed in. But can I tell you that 30,000 people had been crucified and had died at the hands of the Roman officials. And I'm sure some of them died because of something that they believed in. Come on, the only way they were crucified you in that manner, if you was trying to overthrow the Roman guilt, Roman government, they will crucify you only in that manner if you did some heinous crime. But I just believe that Jesus was not the only person that died for what he believed in. There's some people that flew some planes in the world in 9/11, and they believed in what they were doing. Suicide bombers. There's some people that strap a bomb up to themselves and blow you and everybody else up because they believe in what they dying for, because they believe that God gonna give them so many thousands of virgins when they get over on the other side. But can I tell you, Jesus died for more than just what he believed in. This is why we know his name and don't know the other two names, because of the divine bearing. At this time, the Lord Jesus Christ is bearing our sins on the cross. You don't believe me? Let me try to convince you. Look at Isaiah 53 and 5. Just write it down. Oh, this is some good preaching right here. Look at Isaiah 53 and 5. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what Easter and resurrection is all about. This is what it is. This is why we gather. This is why we teach. And this is why we preach. Because he bore our sin. Look at Isaiah 53 and 5. It said, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for what? Our iniquity. The chastisement of what? Our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Do you see anything in that verse of scripture that got anything to do with Jesus? No, everything that he went through, Isaiah prophetically said it 600 to 800 years before Jesus ever walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, and said he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, with his stripes, we are healed. Come on, at the time, this is some divine bearing. I didn't get you. Let me give you another one. Isaiah 53 and 6. As we, like sheep, have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of some of us. No, the iniquity of us all. That still didn't work. Let me give you another one. Look at Romans 4:25, who delivered us for our trespasses, and raised for our justification. I read that too fast. Who was delivered up for our trespass. He was delivered up. He was crucified for our sin. That still didn't work. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I deliver to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins. Come on, hear somebody. In accordance with the scripture, look what Peter say, 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sin in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Come on, hear somebody. Peter said prophetically, no matter how much cancer is in your body, here God said you have been healed. That's what I used to say when my daddy, this time last year, my daddy was in hospice. My daddy had stage for cancer, and I used to come to the church and I tell him, I said, either God gonna heal him or God gonna heal him. Come on, hear somebody. God gonna heal him over here, or whenever it is he takes his last breath over here, when he inhales on the other side, heal in Jesus' name. Come on, hear somebody. Can I tell you, this is what God sent his son to do. Look at 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for what? Sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. This is what it's about. Christ didn't know wrong. He didn't know sin. Come on, hear somebody. What he did was he came here. He lived a sinful, a sinless, and an impeccable life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, I'm about to feel my helper coming. The Hebrew writer says, for we have an high priest that cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity, but in all points was tempted just like we are. Here he was tempted, 1 John 2:15, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, but he didn't sin unto failure. We have a high priest that sat where we sat, that go through what we went through, that no matter what it is that he endured, it. No matter what was brought to him. He went through it, and here he was sinless, but God put the sins of us all on our Savior. And here, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust. I'm so glad. Look at what John said in 1 John 4:10. He said, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. He sent his son. I'm going to give you one more verse of scripture. There's a whole lot of them I can give you, but I'm going to give you this one more. Look at Galatians 3:13. Says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, from becoming, oh my God, he became a cross. I said, there's a divine bearing going on here on the cross. He became a curse. He became a curse. Curse is any man that hangeth on a tree. Jesus on the tree, and he's bearing our sin. He's bearing our lying. He's bearing our adultery. He's bearing our fornication. He's bearing our gambling. He's bearing our smoking and joking and sniffing and sliding. Come on here. He's bearing it all. Maybe you never did anything. This is not a message for the perfect people. You come back next Sunday for Perfect People Sunday. But for those of us that know God, we got some sin. For those of us that know we've done some things. For those of us that know whoever it is that have forgiven sin much, need to be forgiven much. Whoever have lived a life in a way to where we need God to dip my black dirty soul in his red blood, that I can come out white as snow. I'm telling you, it's because of the cross. It's because of what Jesus did. It's because of the fact that he died for me, that I don't have to die. I got to leave y'all alone. Not yet. Sit down. I'm trying to hurry. Sit down. Sit. I'm trying not to, but we got the parking lot problem. Here, listen. If we had more parking, I wouldn't shortchange it. But we got to get y'all out of here to get the others in here. I love y'all too, though. But y'all got to get up. Y'all ain't got to go home. Y'all get up out of here. Listen. Divine darkness. Divine judgment. Divine bearing. Look what's going on. This is so significant. Oh, my God. This is so significant. We see divine wrath. In my feeble attempt to try to get a picture that would depict the wrath of God, only thing I can think of was a volcano. That once it erupts, once it start bubbling over, all of the lava from the inside of the earth begin to spew out, and anything in his way and in his path would be destroyed. All of God's wrath. Good God, I need y'all to hear me. I need y'all to hear this. All of God's wrath has been clearly and succinctly poured out on Jesus. God's focus, his wrath, his retribution, good God, because he is the offended party. Sin offends him. And because of all of our sin and all of our wretchedness and ratchetness, the wrath of God is poured out on Jesus. All of his wrath, because where he said, for the wages of sin is death. So here, the wrath, this is what I believe why there was so much agony in the garden. Not just because of the nails, not just because of the crown of thorns, and not just for what we're going to talk about in a moment. I believe this is half of the agony. Because, hear me good, if a million people received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Christ bore a million hells. I think you're missing it. If I had not received the Lord Jesus Christ, how long would I be in hell? Eternity. Forever. Yeah, I'd be an outcast. And I'd be saying, sorry, Miss Jackson. Listen to me. I would be in hell forever, for eternity. So for all of us, Christ bore my sin recompense. the recompense for my sin. So I'm supposed to be in hell forever. So while he's on the cross, he's enduring my hell. But not just my hell. All our hell. Made me want to say, what the? Come on, somebody. He endured all. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach here. He endured all. Look at what Isaiah said. I got to bring this in. Look what Isaiah says in 53:10. This is what makes so much sense. Isaiah says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to kill him. Who killed Jesus? The Romans? The Jews? God killed him. Y'all ain't hear me. If God didn't kill him, he's going to kill all of us. I'm trying to make the cross just as plain as I possibly can. If God hadn't killed Jesus, he would have had to kill all of us. Because he's a holy God. And Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, it plunged all of us into sin. And all of us deserve hell. But Jesus said, you don't got to go to hell because I did. I got to let y'all out of here. I wasn't even trying to preach today, but I feel something pushing me. Can I tell y'all something today? That when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as hell is concerned, hell's fire has been extinguished as it relates to the Lord, as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell's fire has been extinguished when it comes to Kobe Nesbitt, when it comes to whatever your name is. The fire of hell has been extinguished. Hell don't got no more fire. Hell don't got no more flame because I received the Lord. Y'all sit down. I can't do it today. I can't do it. Sit down. I got to give you this. Sit down. He says, yeah, just write this down. Look at Romans 3:25. God sent him to what? To die in our place, to take away our sins. We receive forgiveness through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. This showed that God always does what is right and fair. As in the past, when he was patient, here's a verse for you, and did not punish people for their sins. In other words, all of us deserve hell. And see, people trying to make it seem like, oh, I wouldn't serve a God that has sent folk to hell. I wouldn't serve a God that has had people in hell for eternity. Hell was not made for you and I. Luke tells us that hell was made for the devil and his angels. God don't send anybody to hell. I send myself to hell. He's made a way for me to get out. 1 John 2:2 says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only. Give me my definition for propitiation. Let me tell you what propitiation is. That's a $4 word to let you know it's an offering that turns away the wrath of God directed against what? Sin. God does not hate sinners. God loves all of us, but his wrath must be fulfilled. His holiness must be vindicated. And here, this is what Jesus became for us. He is the propitiation for our sin. In other words, the wrath of God should be poured out on us all, but Jesus stepped in the way and he became the propitiation. He pleased God. God divinely removed the wrath that belonged to you and I. I got to bring this thing in. Lastly, we see divine darkness, divine judgment, divine bearing, divine wrath. Lastly, we see divine abandonment. Abandonment. God withdrew himself.